We prepare for sickness. We fear it. You know, I mean, listen, I'm not against vaccinations. I'm not against medicine. I'm for all of that stuff. It's all good. In fact, many, many Christians wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't for some medicine because they're not believing God. But I want you to know something, and this is what we're going to talk about. The covenant that God made with us is something that is so basic that the scripture has a name for it. That I think once you hear it, you'll see how basic it is. And I want to do that by reading through the same scripture we've read through the last 2 weeks. From Matthew 15 this week, we started out in Mark 7, which is the same incident, but Matthew 15, there's a Bible right over there, Dave, if you'd like one. Matthew chapter 15, and starting with verse 21. See, I'm a little frustrated from time to time when I watch Christians and their attitude toward sickness. I'm frustrated sometimes when I see people substituting all kinds of things for believing God. You know, people do a lot. The healthcare industry, and when I say that, I'm lumping more than just medicine into it. I'm also, lumping a lot of the natural remedies and things like that that people do. This is a multi-billion dollar industry, you know. It's huge. And of course, you know, we all know now about the national health care law and all the things that are going on. And we're even trying to get the government into taking care of what God promised to do in the beginning, see? And we actually think that that's our responsibility to do that, that we need to do that. And, there's some real problems with it because what we do, we begin to take people's minds off of the promises of God. Listen to this. Matthew 15, verse 21. Do you need a Bible? You can have one too. Okay, you can read it up there. Good. It said, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. We talked about this. She was making a huge statement here. She was recognizing him as the Messiah when she said this. This was a woman who had no covenants, a woman who was lost, a woman who was from probably one of the worst of the nations. The Canaanite nations were low. They were child killers. They sacrificed children to Molech, the idol. Molech was, his idol was a big furnace. And his mouth was where they loaded it with fire, and then they'd throw the children into that. This was the kind of people the Canaanites were. But this is a Canaanite woman, Syrophoenician, Mark says, but nevertheless, Canaanite nation. She said, O Lord, thou son of David. She recognized him as Messiah. She said, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now, she knew about devils because that's what they did. They worshiped devils. That was a form of heathenism that was into devil worship. Very ferocious, very licentious. But the Bible says in verse 23, it says, but he answered her not a word. You ever feel like the Lord's answering you not a word? Sometimes it seems quiet. It says, his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Now, you've got to understand that to these Jewish disciples, she was very, very distasteful. They didn't want her around. In fact, Jesus lets you know how the Jews thought about them as he answers her eventually. And Jesus answers the disciples when they say, send her away. Verse 24 says, but he answered and said, I am not sent, but only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that's quoted right in the New Testament, which says that the gospel is to the Jew first, right? To the Jew first, and after that to the Gentile. But listen what happened when he ignored her, or he seemed to ignore her. Verse 25, then came she and worshipped him. You remember the story about the importunate widow? That's the way they always talk about it with King James language, importunate. Somebody that is persistent. The importunate widow wouldn't let the judge alone. She kept talking to him. Well, this woman wouldn't give up. She came and worshiped him. She came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, even here, you know, you'd think he would have gotten a whole lot softer, but what did he say? He said, "It's not meet, it's not appropriate to take the children's bread." What did he say? The children's what? The children's bread. Yeah, the food. The food. The children's bread. I want you to get that down. If you don't have this, if you've never thought about this way, what did this woman want for her daughter? Was her daughter hungry? Huh? What was wrong with her daughter? She was oppressed by a devil. In fact, apparently, a physical ailment in this. But what did Jesus say that it wasn't appropriate to take? The children's bread, food. Basic, say basic. Bread is the most basic of foods, right? Most basic thing that you can think of for food. When we talk about food, often we say bread. Give us this day our daily bread. People thought about it. Why? Basic. Say basic, you know? Because here's the problem. We've got healing set onto some kind of a supernatural plane that something abnormal has to happen. That's almost, we always look for Oral Roberts, and Oral went to heaven now. We look for Brother Branham. Brother Branham went to heaven now. We look for Kenneth Hagin went to heaven now. What are we going to do? Well, I'm telling you, you don't even have to look for the healing evangelist. Healing is the children's bread. It belongs to us. That's a basic thing for children. Now, Jesus was saying to this woman, the children are the Jews. That's the children's bread. That's who the covenants were given to. The Jew first. Say the Jew first. You need to get that down. It's not that they were better. It's who the covenants. God had a place for them here on this earth. His plan for them was that they would be a kingdom of priests. Exodus chapter 19. A kingdom of priests. So if they had the bread would be available to others, wouldn't it? If you're a kingdom of priests. I want you to get this down. I want you to understand how basic healing is in God's mind. The children's bread. He said it's not appropriate to take the children's bread, which is a covenant provision. It's a covenant provision. And give it to the dogs. Dogs were thought of in that time as an unclean and loathsome creature. And sometimes when I listen to them, I get that loathsome part. When one start barking in the off in the neighbor's house. That sounds loathsome, doesn't it, when you're trying to sleep. But this is talking about dogs as an unclean thing. Now I want you to know most people in our society would have been so offended, they'd have gone off and badmouthed Jesus all over the whole promised land. But this woman didn't do it. She kept pushing in. She kept pushing in. She kept pushing in. What did she say? She said, "Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. It's true. You don't speak anything but truth. What you said is true. But provision was made for the dogs too." Now, let's stop and talk about it for a second, because we talk about the Canaanite woman as though she's a dog above other dogs. All Gentiles were looked at as dogs. All half-breeds. You've heard about the Samaritan woman? The Samaritan woman was mixed breed. That's what they were. They were part Israeli and part whatever the Babylonians sent in. They were a mixed breed. But all Gentiles, say Gentile. Gentile. You know what a Gentile is? A Gentile is anyone that's not a Jew. Anyone that's not of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, here's what happened. God said, "I wanted to make you a kingdom of priests," and instead they became a secret society. set apart from everybody else. Well, a kingdom of priests doesn't work that way. A kingdom of priests work for everybody else. They missed it. They missed it. And so what the woman caught was the truth. What, there's provision made for the dogs too. And her way of putting it was, even the dogs get to eat what the children drop from the table. And Jesus said, for this saying, for what you said out of your mouth, go your way. The devil's gone out of your child, or another place it says your child's healed. Think about it. Children's bread, basic, basic, basic. And yet we think about healing as something that's unattainable, far off. Oh, if you pray hard enough, maybe you could get healed. If it's God's will now, listen to me. If it's God's will, he could heal you. How many of you have heard stuff like that? If it's God's, in fact, you may have prayed that way. Oh Lord, if it be your will, heal so and so. Sounds good and religious. It's not according to the Word of God. The Word of God teaches that it is God's will. In fact, it's a basic provision of covenant to heal. God expects to heal. God wants you well. God even wants more than for you to be well. He wants you to stay well. God wants you in divine health. Think about His Word. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Saying a little about that this morning. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, David said. Bless the Lord's soul. And don't forget all of His benefits. Did you know God has benefits? They're covenant provision. Who forgiveth all thine iniquity? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who delivers your life from the pit? Who crowns your life with loving kindness, chesed, and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth, say youth, is renewed like the eagles? I catch things in songs sometimes, and you know, sometimes, you know, a song, as much as I like that, 10,000 Angels, he said, when I get weak. Well, you know, that's another thing that we all believe. ARP told us that we get to be 50 years old, we're seniors. Did ARP tell you that? Send you a little deal and say you're a senior now?
Some of us don't subscribe to ARP for that reason.
Somebody else that in this place doesn't subscribe to ARP either. But it's not just because of that, it's just because of their whole attitude about old. We buy wholesale all the reports of the world. Say covenant. How many of you know, though there's covenants, there's contradictions to the covenant all around us? Covenant contradictions. God's covenants, listen, the worldly way of talking about God's covenants is they're too good to be true. Right? That's too good to be true. A lady told a good friend of mine one time, he was encouraging her to believe God. And she said to him, she says, that's in the Bible. I live in the real world. Did you know that's the way people look at things so often? We look at the Bible as a book of some real things about the way you're supposed to act and treat people. But then a lot of it, the stuff we read about, it's like it's fairy tales. People don't give it any more credence. But I'm telling you, I think that we need to come back to the place where we say, if the Word says it, I believe it. If the Word teaches it, I trust it. If the Word says it, I'm going to receive it. I'm going to take. But there's contradictions. And it started from the very beginning. Every covenant that was seen, with maybe not the Edenic before the fall, but certainly the Adamic covenant, we start seeing contradictions. Things trying to contradict it. But I want to take you into Abram's life. Say Abram. Avram. Avram. Av means father. It's good to talk about fathers on Father's Day. Avram, exalted father. Ram. Avram. The 17th chapter of Genesis, when Avram was 90 years old and 9. 99 years old. The Lord appeared to Avram and said to him, I am El Shaddai. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. What he was saying to was, be complete. What he was saying is, be before me, nothing missing, nothing broken. Be shalom. And he says, and I will make my covenant. Say covenant.
Covenant.
What is a covenant?
It's a legal binding contract.
A legal binding contract.
That cannot be broken.
Huh?
That cannot be broken.
Or in the case of men, when men make covenants together, in old days, covenants were binding by death. To break a covenant was a death sentence. In fact, they illustrated it by taking it. You know, we see things different. You know, I see things like I saw them on the farm when they used to butcher. And really, they got to the point, but at first I just thought they slit their throats. The fact is, they cut the animal long ways in half, right down the backbone. That animal was opened up after it was killed, after its throat was cut, and the blood began to flow. Can you imagine what kind of blood there would be when you do that with a calf or a cow? There's a lot of blood. A lot of blood. While the pieces are on the ground, the people making the covenant would walk through the blood with their hands linked. There's other things that they would do, but they would link hands and walk through the blood together to establish their covenant. Their feet would have been covered up to the ankles with blood. You understand? It was to remind them that this is a serious matter. It's a matter of blood. Right now we're showing you the animal's blood, but you mess up here on this covenant, it's yours. Now, there were name changes that went on. They changed weapons, exchanged weapons, and they exchanged the coat of authority at those times of covenant. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to teach. But the point is, God's making a covenant, and he's making it with someone that's not equal. Someone that doesn't have anything to offer. So God swears by himself. Or you could say he takes hands with himself and makes the covenant for us. And the covenant with us is that we just receive it. We accept what he's doing. He says, I will make my covenant between me and thee. I will do it and will multiply thee exceedingly. 17:3 says, and Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. 99 years old. Now, God told him this earlier, that he was going to bless him, and by his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. But nothing's happened now. From the time Abraham's 75 until he's 99, 24 years, nothing has happened. God made this promise to him when he called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. But now it's 24 years later and Abraham's living in the tents. And by the way, when you see the tents of Abraham, he lived in a small city. There were 318 men in his household. We know that because that's what he went out and rescued Lot with. But here he is now, and God's talking to him at this time. And God says, I'm going to make my covenant with you, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Verse 5 says, neither shall thy name be any more called Avram, but thy name shall be called Avraham. Now, we see that with a lot of letters added, 3. Actually, God added one letter to his name. What did he add? Hey. He added a hey. Say hey.
Hey.
Say hey. Say hey. Feel it? Hey. It's breath. That's what hey talks about, is breath. Hey talks about breath. In Hebrew, breath is ruach. Ruach says breath, but it also says spirit. Spirit. God injected spirit into Avram, and Avram became Avraham. When the Spirit came into Avraham, here's Avraham with a new name. We need a new name sometimes. We need the Spirit on the inside. We need to recognize what the Spirit does in us. Amen? And I will make thee exceeding fruitful. Verse 6. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generation for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, thou shalt keep, guard, protect my covenant. Therefore, thou and thy seed after thee, in their generations. Read it with the wrong punctuation there. Now, what was the contradiction to the covenant that God's making with Abraham? He's put his spirit in. I believe that's so significant, by the way. Now, there's something very significant about it because it also means something different. Avram means exalted father. Avraham means father of many nations. So father of a multitude.
God made him what he made the covenant to be.
That's right.
He was calling him that, even though he was not in the physical realm.
That's right.
It was established.
If it had been you, and you were 99 years old, and God brought this promise to you, what would you have said to God? What would have been your response?
Oh, sure.
Really? You might have said something like, but Lord, if you could have just done this a few years earlier. Right? A little earlier. I'm 99 years old. Now, by this time now, 99 is up in age. And some things had quit working. Right? Abraham was no longer capable of producing children. And even if he had have been, his wife Sarah was 90 years old, and she certainly had ceased in the ways of women, is the way she put it. It was gone. So when God said this to Abraham, by the way, Abraham, every time he introduced himself after that, had to confess the truth. I am the father of a multitude. I am the father of many nations. When somebody called him, he heard that with his ears. Say, faith comes by hearing. Is that right? Does faith come by hearing? So every time he heard his name, every time he said his name, he heard, I'm a father of many nations, but he's 99 years old. There's a contradiction. Do you see the contradiction? And Abraham saw the contradiction. And we see it and read about it in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, beginning with verse 13, says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of what? Of faith, of believing, of trusting. 14 says, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. That's the law of sin and death we talked about a little bit earlier from Romans chapter 8, verse too. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there's no transgression. Verse 16 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Say all the seed. All the seed. Did God promise Abraham a lot of seed? Didn't he? A multitude of seed. And the promise goes right on to all the seed. That's what God told him here. He said, I'm giving it to you and your seed after you for an everlasting possession. I'm establishing my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee. To the Jew first. Didn't say that right here, but that's a fact. To the Jew first. Now listen. It says that it might be sure to all the seed, I'm in verse 16, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. So what happens? What happens when you believe? What?
You're grafted in.
You're grafted in. Why? Because you actually are walking in the faith of faithful Abraham. Believing God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's what happens to each of us when we believe God. When we trust God. When we believe Him, it's imputed unto us as righteousness just like it was to Abraham. Abraham hadn't done anything. He hadn't had a child yet. And yet God counted him as righteous because he believed him. Verse 17 says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. God says, Abraham, you're the father of many nations. Abraham's 99 years of age, has no children. You know the story he told God. Look, the only kid I have in my house is Eliezer that I've raised up, and now he's the steward of my house. He's the only heir I have. But God's seeing Abraham different than Abraham's seeing him, isn't he? What does it mean when it says he quickeneth the dead? Now, what? Go ahead.
The breath.
The breath.
When God spoke Abraham,
quickeneth the dead.
Quickened his mortal or his physical body.
That's right.
And brought it into youth again.
If that same spirit which raised Christ from the dead dwells in your mortal bodies, God will quicken you by that same spirit. He'll quicken your mortal bodies. Quicken. He quickens the dead. Now, he's talking about Abraham right here, isn't he? Already. Quickeneth the dead. What? Not all of Abraham was dead. What was dead? His reproductive system was dead.
His seed.
That's right. His seed was dead. His seed was dead. So God quickeneth the dead and calleth things which they weren't there. You couldn't see them. They be not. And yet he called them like they already were. Abraham, you're the father of many nations. And here's this lonely guy and his wife. All he has are servants. You getting it?
And how interesting that it's one seed. It was one child. And let us look. We have the sands of the seas, the stars of the heaven. And in our mortal minds, our carnal minds, we go, this can't be God. Because you'd have to have 37 to
right.
do the multiplication.
That's right. That's right.
One seed.
One seed. And that's what he calls it, the seed. To the seed. And really, that seed refers to Yeshua.
Amen.
Isn't that interesting? Now, when we get this down and begin to look at it, we begin to see how that, you know, there was a contradiction going on even in Abraham. Abraham could look and see it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what people try to do a lot of time. Well, there's the word, and then there's what we see. And that's right. What we can sensually perceive. Those things. And a lot of times we sensually perceive what somebody else tells us. Theologians have been telling us for years that some things have passed away. Have you heard that? Well, you know, when the apostles all died, all this need for supernatural stuff, that ended. All we need now is just to live right and do right and, you know, everything. No, no, we need the supernatural new birth. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need everything that goes with the benefit. Don't you forget all His benefits. I said, don't forget His benefits. I think God wants to tell us, don't forget the benefits. It's not just going to heaven. It's living victoriously. It's living in dominion on carrying out the original blessing. And God blessed Adam. And God said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Amen? He said, have dominion in it. Say, have dominion. How many of you are having dominion? You're supposed to have dominion. You've got dominion over the devil, first of all. And you know, once you have dominion over him, it's amazing how everything else begins to just fall into line. Oh, he'll still attack. He'll still attack. But you know, it really riles him when you just laugh at him. Just laugh at him. Thou shalt tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Behold, I've given you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That's us. We're in dominion. God's Word gives us that. So in verse 18 it says, Abraham, against hope, believed in hope. Somebody give me a modern day translation. Against hope, believed in hope.
Faith that it would happen.
He had faith that it would happen, right?
Natural circumstances.
Okay. I kind of like to look at it like this. When there was no hope, Abraham believed in hope. What kind of hope am I talking about? Nothing natural. There was no hope naturally. Abraham continued to trust in, what is hope really? What is hope really? You talk about hope.
The future.
All right, has to do with the future. Has to do with the future. Right?
Just believe in what God's Word says.
That's right. And what God's Word says always isn't in the manifest realm yet, is it? I always like to look at hope just in a simple thing, that it's something so simple. What is it? It's a blueprint. It's a blueprint. It's not manifest yet, but it's a blueprint. Now, it may have all kind of elevations and pictorials with it that make it look really, really good, but you know, it's still just a blueprint. It can't be seen in the manifest realm, but when there wasn't even any hope at all that Abraham could reproduce and have a child, Abraham said, I still see the blueprint of all these children, and I choose to believe it. Now, people try oftentimes to reconcile. You know, well, let's just reconcile what God says with what the enemy's saying over here. Guess what? That'll never work. See, let's take a little bit of faith and mix it with a little bit of doubt. No, that won't work. Well, let's take a lot more faith and mix it with just a tiny bit of fear. No, it still won't work. Don't reconcile, ignore. I said don't reconcile, ignore. Ignore those things which try to tell you God's Word can't come to pass. Well, but the doctor said, yes, but my nutritionist told me, yes, but there's someone that's got this new therapy. Now listen, people, this is where we get ourselves all messed up. Well, I've been eating wheatgrass all the time. Now, wheatgrass is the only way to, if you want health, eat wheatgrass. Yeah, and it'll turn your teeth green too. I'm not against wheatgrass. I'm not against natural remedies. But I am against putting them in place of what I'm talking about, first place. putting God's word and his truth. We have to have it there first. Listen, there's always going to be a whole bunch of natural, not just natural, natural and medical deals, you know, that come along, and they change from year to year. How many of you have noticed that? Now, I have persisted. I want you to know that I have persisted through the good years and the bad years of coffee. I drink coffee even when they say it's not good for you, and now it's back to where it's good for you again. But you know what? I don't do it for my health. I do it because I like it. How about that? I'm not being smart. I'm just telling you the truth. Sometimes we try to do things with something we smear on. Listen, God talks about an anointing, and his smearing on is a smearing on of something supernatural. Amen? It's the oil of gladness. It comes. Now, I'm not against those other things. They're all right if they make you feel good. You girls want to rub your hands with things and stuff. That's all right. Some of you men may use creams and cosmetics to keep your skin nice and soft now. That's okay. But that's not in place of believing God. You understand? This is the key. It says when there wasn't any hope, when there was no reason to hope. Say reason.
Reason.
There was no reason. What is reason? Reason's a natural process, isn't it? There was no reason to hope. Abraham persisted and believed God, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. Faith comes by hearing. So shall thy seed be. Listen to this part. It said, verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead. I want you to see that now. Being not weak in faith. It's kind of hard to get this back in that, putting the negatives in that way. We would just say, and he wasn't weak in faith. But it says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. What did he not do? He didn't rely or pay any attention to the ability of the natural, did he? Remember what we started out talking about? Healing is basic. It's just basic. And if we keep it basic and believe it, it's just as much your covenant right as forgiveness of sin. Healing and provision are just as much your covenant right as getting saved from sin, being forgiven. They're all put together in one covenant bundle, his benefits. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. He refused to even consider his body. He didn't look at his body's condition. The condition of the body. You know, this is where we absolutely blow it. We are so quick to determine that everything about us is just, it's just got to be so, or it becomes a compulsion to observe it and to watch it and to look at it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you know just some little infirmity can catch your attention and it can take your mind off of believing so easily? How many ever wake up with a scratchy throat? What do you do with a scratchy throat? Ignore it. Now, here's what I do. I'm not overcome of evil. I overcome evil with good. I just remember what the Word of God says. The Word of God says Jesus sent his Word and healed me. He took my infirmities. He bore my sickness. He took my sin in his own body on the tree. I'm dead to sin and alive to righteousness. By his stripes, I am healed because he is the Lord who heals me. He has set me free from the law of sin and death, and I walk in health. Amen. And victory. And prosperity, even as my soul prospers. Amen. Now, I know that what I'm talking about may be not getting into some of you, but I'm telling you what. This thing has been working in me now since 1967. 1967 is when I first started catching hold of this. I had years of learning. I don't want you to think everything happened quickly. I had years and years, but I'm telling you what, if I had been more persistent with the Word, it would have gone much faster. But I'm to the place now where I walk in divine health. Now, don't go out of here and say he doesn't ever have anything attacking. No, I have attacks. The enemy still tries to come in, but the Bible says when he comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And it floods out of my mouth. Amen? Just comes out. Why? Because when I sense something in my natural man, I begin to stand against it in the spiritual man. I just stand up and say the positive. I overcome the evil with good. You can do that. I'm not the great example. Jesus is. I'm just learning what he's been teaching. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want you to take an example from me. I want you to do it because that's what the Lord said. Amen? He says he wasn't weak in faith and he didn't even consider his own body. Then in verse 20 it says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. That's where a lot of people do it. The natural becomes so strong that when they're taking hold of the Word, the natural comes in and they just turn loose of the Word and give in. Some people prepare, a symptom is enough to make some people prepare. You know, you ever have just a little twinge in the side of your head? What do you say?
You
could say, I have, or I'm getting a. Why say that? And don't start this either. I'm not getting a headache. I'm not getting a headache. I'm not getting a headache. Now, what is that?
Stupidity.
What is it?
Stupidity.
It's stupid. But what else is it?
Fear.
It's fear. We're putting our focus that way instead of this way. Set your affection on things above. Oh, thank you, Lord God, that I am the healed of God. You took my infirmities. You bore my sickness. I walk in divine health. I walk according to the will of God. You've given unto me all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of me who calls according to love and virtue. I've got the words all messed up. But that's all right. You get the idea. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, what do?
Think on
these things. Healing's the children's bread. It belongs to you. You're just supposed to just take it. Just take it. Just believe it. Just believe it's yours. Ignore your human reasoning. Ignore your senses. The Bible says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Father, you're the one that's made all this possible. I didn't do this. It's not my way of doing things. It's your way of doing things. It's the kingdom of God, and I'm just blessed to be a part of it. Verse 21 says, and being fully persuaded. Say fully persuaded.
Fully persuaded.
Are you fully persuaded? Are you fully persuaded? Do you believe and are you fully persuaded? Well, listen, if you're not right now, that's all right. Just get on board. That's right. Get started. Someone says, I haven't arrived yet. I know I haven't arrived yet either, but I'm on board. Amen. I've left the station. I'm on the way and you can be there too. Let's not go back to those ways that the world does things. Let's not do it. You know, people refer to diseases with ownership. People own their diseases. Well, don't you care about my toothache? My cold? My diabetes? People claim things. No, it's not yours at all. It's the devil's. Tell him to take it and depart.
And Pastor Terry, when sickness and symptoms of disease and things come on us, I don't know about you guys, but it starts out, wow, that was a strange thought or feeling, and it's maybe a headache, but in seconds, you have malignant brain tumors, or you know what, it's always something that is so outrageous.
Yeah.
And it's that taking those thoughts captive.
Absolutely.
Because it's lies. It is, because if we become that focused.
Right. But you know what we do? A lot of times we not only get focused, then we just go to bed and prepare for it to come. I'm just going to give in right now. And that's the problem with people. You know, the thing we must do is speak the healing and then act like we are.
And you bring up a really good point. Like you said, one minor thing, and then you think it's brain cancer or something like that. If we could change the mindset of, okay, it's instead this one little thing, but God's already provided for our future in past tense. He speaks about it in the Word. So I think the struggle for us is in our brain cells, in our heads, intellectually,
listening
to it, but taking that scope of magnitude and turning it to the Word, and that's where that getting on board of progression, I think you're talking about.
Amen. And see, this is what fully persuaded will alleviate. Mm-hmm. Once you become fully persuaded, you won't be talking sickness and disease. In fact, you will do your best not to give it a place, even if you're really battling with it hard and maybe not feeling like you're winning. Now listen to me. I've been through these areas. You sometimes feel like you're not winning. But don't give in. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't lay down. Now there's times it's all right to go ahead and lay down and rest, but I'm talking about is this giving in to. And what you talk about is, you know, we've got helpers all over telling us about all these new diseases they're finding. In fact, they not only talk about new diseases, they talk about side effects to all the pills that you take for the diseases. Have you noticed that? And people hear these reports, and they hear these reports, and they hear these reports, and they listen to these reports, and people get on the internet, and they study their disease. And so it's theirs. I took it. You ever hear anybody say, you're taking a cold? I think I'm taking a cold. Well, what does that mean? Just that. You're taking it. You're receiving it. That was a good spot for a sneeze. Yeah, that's great. You know what we do when we sneeze? What do you do when you sneeze? Thank God for a healthy sneeze. Hallelujah. I like to sneeze sometimes. I think it's healthy. I don't think there's anything sick about a sneeze. Amen? That's good. I like that. Good teaching, isn't it? Yeah, good teaching. Yeah, that's right. Stagger not. Be fully persuaded. How do we get from where we are to fully persuaded?
As we spend the time in the Word, that Word becomes rich in us, and that takes precedence. It supersedes. So that same thing with counterfeit money. You don't have learned with counterfeit money. Yep. It's touching the real, touching the real, touching the real. That when the counterfeit comes, you go, ding, ding, ding.
Amen.
That's the lie.
Amen. And all of us need to get a hay in our name. Mm-hmm. Amen. Get a hay in your name. Because as you take the Word, when the Spirit of God is in you, John's already got one in his. I assume your name's spelled J-O-H-N, right? You got a hay in your name. I don't have a hay in my name, but I'm going to be Terhe.
Terhe.
You understand what I'm talking about? Not truly, but figuratively, we need to receive of the things of the Spirit. Let the things of the Spirit make the Word alive in us. When you hear the Word, listen, the Bible says God's Word worketh like a medicine. It works like medicine. I always kid and I say it's a gospel, right? It's good news. It's medicine. And we need to learn to do what Abraham did. Ignore your human reasoning. And when you hear somebody else tell something, don't immediately, you know, somebody says, yeah, so-and-so over here, he had this, and this happened, and that happened, and this progressed to that. And then we start thinking about, gee, I had something like that once. I mean, I've been feeling kind of like that. I know one lady that every time anybody tells her anything, she says, yeah, I've been having that too. You know, and that's another joke that's told about old people, how they just receive. They talk it. They speak it. No, we're not going to talk infirmity. And I talked about that song. I never did finish it. But you know, oh, I did talk about it. When I'm growing weak, when the days, I can't remember, but the end of my days. You know, I believe death even is supposed to be one breath here, next breath there. Amen? I don't think you'll know it when you die. I don't think you'll have to, you know, because I believe believers just walk out. Now, if the rapture comes, praise God, you might get to feel that flying through the air, praise God. That's when that happens, that's great. But if you were to die, and that's what I told my mom, just take one breath here and take the next one over there. It's not going to be. Jesus tasted death for us that we don't have to taste death. I'm just talking about divine health. I'll tell you what, we are just fearfully and wonderfully made. God designed your body to respond to His healing. Amen. And so whatever's going on in you, don't be willing to just stay and just allow it. Stand against it. Stand against it. Brother Hagin was telling the story about laying in bed, and he said, I had this word for so long about I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. And he said, one day, he said, the Lord said to me, are you healed? And he said, yes, I am. And he said, well, then isn't it time for you to get up? First thought in his mind, but I'm paralyzed. My legs are paralyzed. How can I get up? You know what he did? He sat up, took his leg with his hand and laid it over the edge of the bed. Took his other leg with his hand and laid it over the edge of the bed. Pushed himself up and stood up. And strength started coming into his little tiny, spindly legs. And the healing power of God began to work in him. Amen? The manifestation of that healing was from the inside out. Say inside out. That's where it comes from. It comes out of us. Amen? Listen, it says, he was fully persuaded. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Verse 23, now it wasn't written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. Say for us also.
For us also.
Raise your hand up, say for us also.
For us also.
To whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. If I believe like Abraham did, I'm going to get the same results Abraham did. Amen? That's a fact. If I believe like Jesus taught me to believe, I'm going to get the same results in my life that Jesus had as he walked this earth. These works will you do, and greater works will you do because I go to my Father. Remember, we're not talking about this healing just so you can be healed. We're talking about this healing so you can spread it around. Amen? I believe it's supposed to be going everywhere. I believe we're supposed to. Listen, believers, you're not supposed to be going through prayer lines all the time. It's okay to do it, but that's not the way we do it. I talked about it earlier. Believers are supposed to talk the Word of God into their own heart until it becomes part of them. Your body will respond. Your body will take it. Your body will do it. I believe it. If I believe like Abraham did, I'm going to have the same results. What happened to Abraham? His 99-year-old system came to life. Didn't it? It came to life. Sarah's 90-year-old body came to life. The reproductive system of two old people became active again, and they had a child named Isaac. Yitzhak, which means laughter. You would too, wouldn't you? 99 years old and you're having kids, you'd be laughing. Sarah went on and lived to 127. Anybody know how old Abraham lived? 175 years, and he had sons. with Keturah after Sarah died. A number of sons, I can't remember if it was four or five. One of them was Midian. He had children, so did he get healed good? It lasted, didn't it? It lasted. Hallelujah. Stand up with me. Listen, this is all good. If you haven't ever read that for a while, get into Romans 4 and just study that through. Just meditate on that. Look back at Abraham's life in Genesis 12 and Genesis 17, 18. Read those sections where God comes to him and talks to him. Read how he reveals the covenant to him. It applies to us. Abraham's faith is mine. I'm of the seed of Abraham. Amen. I'm one of his seed because I walk in faith. Say, I have access by faith of God.
I have access by faith of God.
To enter into his covenant of grace.
To enter into his covenant of grace.
I choose not to consider.
I choose not to consider.
Mingled truth.
Which contradicts the covenant.
I am steadily growing. In faith. Emunah. Emunah is faith in Hebrew, which really doesn't just mean believe, but it means steady. It means steadfast. Are you steadfast? Say, I'm steadfast. Say, I'm strong in faith. I'm growing in faith. I am becoming fully persuaded because I hear and hear and hear the Word of God. Amen. Father, we bless you today. Oh, we bless you today. I speak the healing word over your church today, over those that are here today, over those that will hear this electronically. I speak the healing word of God. I especially speak today for some elderly folks, some people that are older and have listened all of their lives to this. I'm getting old. I'm getting weak. I'm failing. My health's failing. No, I speak to you today to believe God. Just trust God. Trust God. That healing's for you today. It's a benefit of God. He healeth all your diseases. When it comes time for you to go to heaven, you don't have to go to heaven because of sickness and disease. You don't have to go to heaven because of some accident that kills you and takes you there. No, you can just walk on into glory land well in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you and honor you today because you're a healing God. And today we take our healing. We believe for the health and the victory and the healing of God that's manifest in us from the inside out in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. Iva reka ka Adonai va yishma reka. Yair Adonai panav aleka vikineka. Yisa Adonai panav aleka va yasem lacha shalom. And now Yahweh will bless you and keep you. Yahweh will make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Yahweh will lift you up in the light of his countenance and give you his shalom in the name of Yeshua. Nothing missing, nothing broken. And everybody that received it said, Amen.